Hello and welcome. I'm Clayton Smith, and it's my distinct pleasure to introduce you to The Art of First Impressions. The Art of First Impressions is a collaboration between William Bill Blatchford, DDS, President of Blatchford Solutions, and Daniel A. Danny Bobrow, MBA. A former practicing dentist, Bill has, since 1990, coached thousands of practices, including many of the top producing practices in the country, and is an internationally sought-after speaker. Danny and American Dental Marketing have, since 1989, helped thousands of dental practices take aim with their marketing by implementing cost-effective, image-conscious marketing and patient communication strategies. Bill and Danny have learned that when a practice implements an effective dentistry marketing plan, getting the phone to ring is a relatively simple matter. However, what happens after the phone rings is just as important as getting it to ring in the first place. And it is the potential for a disconnect at this crucial point in the patient-practice relationship that the Art of First Impressions was created to address. Bill and Danny take you step by step through the process to becoming a master telephone communicator. Because the keys to effective learning include repetition and coaching, the Art of First Impressions includes sample call recordings and exercises for you to practice your newfound skills, and even a full year of quarterly updates to increase and reinforce your learning. So congratulations on your commitment to becoming a master telephone communicator. And now, let's get started.
This is Bill Blatchford, and I'd like to share with you just a couple of words about why Danny and I got together to do this series. I've been coaching doctors for over 25 years and noticed that, first off, that we can make the phone ring, but what happens after the phone rings seems to be the important part that's missing. We have listened, we have literally recorded hundreds of phone calls, some wonderful and some rather mediocre, to be polite. And so we decided to collaborate on this series, how to improve your telephone skills. Danny, why don't you talk a little bit about some of the surveys that we've done?
Sure, Bill, I'd be happy to. And on behalf of both of us, I want to thank the listener for taking the time and making the commitment to improving their telephone communication skills. It's an important step toward your personal and career growth, and we just wanted to acknowledge you for that. In the past 20 years or so, actually 1989, so it's we're going on 21 years, we've worked with practices across the country and helping them to essentially get the phone to ring, and more recently to get click-throughs to their website. And what we learned, just to underscore what you already said, Bill, it's what happens after the phone rings that is just as important as getting it to ring in the first place. And to the doctor's credit, a recent survey that we conducted showed that the number one, actually 78% of the respondents indicated that they knew that they could benefit from help with getting their team to improve their telephone communication skills. And what we're finding is that the challenge is particularly acute when it comes to first-time telephone callers. And that's pretty much what we're going to be focusing on today. Share some distinctions with you that highlight the differences and the challenges inherent with converting first-time telephone callers into solid appointments.
Yeah, I would like to take this too to the individual team members that are listening to this series is that, first off, I would like to make you indispensable to your employer. If you can improve your skills and if you can prove that you can bring that patient into the office, you will be indispensable in your office. The second reason is, as we work with smaller teams, that we want everyone cross-trained. So while you may have one person who has a lot of experience answering the phone and may do a wonderful job, I call enough offices to know that if that person is tied up and someone else answers the phone, and very often it's the doctor, and while we have someone that does an excellent job, I get somebody saying, dental office. So we want everyone on the team to have excellent phone skills.
That's absolutely right, Bill, and I'm glad you raised the doctor, because, doctor, this course is very much for you, too. As Bill pointed out, it's entirely possible and even likely that you will be pressed into service on the telephone from time to time. And, of course, it's always a good idea to lead by example, and not only practicing, but also the process of attaining these skills will be enhanced if you get into the trenches with your team and engage in the exercises and do the role plays and, as I said, lead by example and demonstrate that this is really important and a very vital determinant in the growth rate of your practice. Because, Bill, as we've discussed, majority of production and revenue really does derive from new patients.
Well, that's right. We've done these studies on this for a number of years with our practices, and we call it the 20-60-20 rule. And we have learned that we make 80% of our income from 20% of our patients, and we call that the top 20. the middle 60% of our patients, which we call the farm club, and we make 30% on those. And then, of course, on the bottom 20% of our patients, we actually lose 10%. So we study that top 20%, and what we'll find is a majority of those are new patients. And that's one of the myths in dentistry, that most of the work comes out of the recall program, where I think we've pretty much disproven that it is mainly new patients. And you don't have that relationship with that new patient that you have with the recall. So it's important that first 30 seconds or 60 seconds is done correctly.
Let's talk soon about why exceptional telephone skills are important for your practice and for you. But before we do that, I thought it might be appropriate, given at least the time that this lesson is being prepared, to talk a little bit about the relationship between an economy and marketing, because, well, it's very important if people are going to commit to marketing that they do so understanding that it's a valuable and positive rather than necessary evil, or that they are dragged kicking and screaming into it. And sometimes we find that some practices feel that way, especially when the economy has taken a downturn.
Well, I think right now is a time when people should actually increase their marketing. Number one, I think for the first time since the Great Depression of the 30s, people have actually changed their buying habits. We do have some people who are unemployed, but you want to remember that 90% of the population is still working, but they are hanging on to their money. Every time you pick up the newspaper, there's an article how to save money on dining out, how to save money in your automobile, how to save money by not buying new clothes, not taking the economy vacation. So this has become a mindset with people. And while we have to improve our marketing to get them in, we also have to improve all of our sales skills to get them to part with that money.
That's absolutely true. The other important point to understand is that when the economy is bad, there's an understandable desire for people to retrench and to pinch their pennies and to really cut back on expenditures that they feel are unnecessary. Marketing is not one of them. Marketing is always necessary, and a down economy is actually very likely the best time to market. The reason for that is that when times are tight, people, as Bill already mentioned, are watching their pennies or looking for ways to economize. They're questioning their allegiances with providers of services, including dental providers. And so they're that much more open to considering trying an alternative. And this obviously means that if you can make an attractive offer and your team and you are ready in every respect to convert that caller into a patient, and also understand that perhaps the timing of treatment acceptance may be delayed somewhat, that really doesn't matter to the long-term growth of a practice. What you want to do is build your herd, grow your tribe, whatever a metaphor you want to use, but basically add to your patient base so that when things do recover, you're going to grow that much faster because you now have a larger patient base.